verses from the beginning of the second chapter of Isaiah. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. In Jesus' name, beloved of God, have you ever waited for something with dread? Or maybe you've waited for something with joyful anticipation. Well, Isaiah was waiting with both, because it was a sad time in Israel. The people of Israel were comfortable enough. Unemployment wasn't that high, and they all had candy for the holidays. But they had forsaken the Lord their God. They were not openly anti-God. He just was not very important in their lives. This showed itself in a number of ways. Yes, they continued to bring sacrifices to the place of worship, but they brought them with hands that were guilty of unrepented blood. They did not call upon him for their daily bread. Instead, they trampled one another and stabbed one another in the back when they thought it might bring them some gain. They took advantage of the fatherless and the widows. All of these things showed that they did not consider God that important. They were more interested in serving themselves. Isaiah told them that God would send tribulation their way and show them their true helplessness, even with mighty Egypt as their ally. Isaiah foresaw captivity and exile for his people. And that's not something you'd look forward to. But the Lord gave Isaiah and those who would listen to him much more to look forward to. Isaiah was waiting for another day, the day of the Messiah, the last age, the days which Peter announced on Pentecost. In those days, people from many nations would look to Mount Zion. The word would go out and many would come. They would not come because of the wealth or honor or power or the pleasures that were offered. They would come because they wanted to be taught. Come and learn. That they wanted to be taught the ways of the Lord. In that day, many would be walking in the Lord's way, repenting and receiving forgiveness. Many would be hearing the Lord's word of truth. Many would be finding life in Zion. Not only would they be at one with God, but they would also be reconciled with one another as fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. What a picture Isaiah saw and waited for. A time when neither troops nor treaties, but listening to the Lord's word would bring peace among people. Many people today are still looking for peace on earth. But on Mount Zion, he who is the way, the truth, and the life brings peace with God, even in the midst of the greatest struggles. And wherever Christ rules by his word, he also brings peace between people. His word shows us what is right and wrong, lighting the path before us. His word also moves us to be tender-hearted and forgiving as he was with us. His word is the lamp that teaches us to help one another by first plucking the beam out of our own eye, teaching us that we need not avenge ourselves, whether our bodies or our feelings were hurt. Even when the government may seem to fail in its duty to avenge the wrong, our King has promised to take care of it and to care for us. In him we have everything. The kingdom ours remaineth. So what are we waiting for? Well, the same Messiah that Isaiah waited for. We are waiting for his second coming, aren't we, in glory? And how should we wait? Why not the same way that Isaiah waited? He says, "Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." As a child once said after being shown some stained glass windows and being told that those were the saints pictured in those windows, she said, "That's what a saint is. Now I understand. It's someone that the light shines through." Walking in the light of the Lord, having the light shine through us. This means laying aside the works and ways of darkness, doesn't it? How better could we wait for Christ's smiling face than to walk in the light of it now, to come honestly before him, not with excuses, but with repentance and faith in his forgiving love, to be reconciled to God and to one another. May the word of Christ so dwell in us today that already we may kneel before him whom we will meet in the air. May his word so dwell in us that already we may walk in his light. Amen. Hymn 284, we'll sing the six stanzas to the tune of Winchester Old.